One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself a whole lot of tears. Don't try to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along, baby. Let's ride. You got to roll with the punches. Yeah, you got to go with the flow.
Yeah, you got to roll with the punches. Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan. Welcome back to Hibernian Radio. We're coming at you from the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub the night before Thanksgiving. I think this is called Black Wednesday. We're brought to you by Local 150, Sheehy Funeral Home, Cork and Kerry, Fox's Pizza, Flood Brothers, Guinness, and Chicago Firefighters Local 2. And we do appreciate all our sponsors, so God bless you all. Very interesting guest tonight. I think this is his third time on the show, an old friend, and that's the beauty of this show. Guys, you become friends, and I think this is your third time, right, Danny?
It is, Mike.
We have Lieutenant Dan Shine. The last two times he was on the show, he was Sergeant Dan Shine. 25 years on the job, is that correct?
26.
26? Mm-hmm. Okay. An incredible career. And he's also an aficionado of, he's a Hibernophile. He's a big fan of Ireland, as am I. So we share that love of the old sod. So I think it was back in March of 2019 was the last time you were on the show. So
I think that was the first time, and then November of 20.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Also a Navy veteran. He worked at the Midnight Gang team from 2005 to 2008. Spent many a night at the 6511 Club, 6511 South Kedzie. Great little... is that still around?
The building's still there, but different owners and everything, and it's different clientele.
Yeah, they used to have the great Irish music there. And well, you met Jimmy Keane's father there, Horace Keane, and Michael Flatley, and you've been to Ireland many, many times. I just got back, by the way. Had a great time. So anyway, Danny, what do you want to talk about tonight? Whatever, you know, the stage is yours, pal. You just got promoted, what, just recently?
Yeah, we got sworn in on August 16th. There was 30 of us.
30 new lieutenants.
30 new lieutenants, and got our assignments, and away we went.
Yeah. So where are you going to be assigned?
I'm in the 6th District, Gresham.
Oh, Gresham. I used to, when I was a teenager, get busted there.
Yeah, it's they have a newer
a little different now.
Yeah, they have a newer station. They used to be at 85th and Green,
right?
Yeah. Vincennes. Now they're at 78th and Halsted, so.
Mm. Okay.
It's busy.
I'll bet it is.
Yeah. But it's a great crew there, and so far so good.
Yeah.
Enjoying it.
Gresham. Okay. My dad used to make a big show coming down and slapping the crap out of me in front of the cops. They loved that. Because they, you know, come down here and get your son. He's a bum. Okay. And then, of course, he'd always duke them on the way out. Just don't come to the house.
You guys get yourself some lunch.
Yes, exactly. God rest his soul.
Cool.
But they don't do that anymore, of course, we know. Now, you grew up in... St. Gerald's Parish, went to De La Salle,
right.
A Meteor, Canaryville Roots. You have an amazing career. And what stands out in all those years as you've been around the block?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of snuck my college in.
Oh, did you?
After... a little bit before, I started on the beer trucks. My dad drove a beer truck for Old Style.
Oh, did he really?
And I did that right after I got out of high school, and I did a little time at Marine. The beer trucks were kind of slowing down in the winter, and they weren't working me as much and that. And I said, I need a little break from school, and this will help me get on the police department, and this will help my get me money for college.
Sure.
So it really worked out good. And, you know, I said, oh, geez, maybe I'll do a little traveling and kind of enjoy it. So my first year and a half, well, my first year and 4 months I was in school at Great Lakes.
Oh, so, at the Navy, sure. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't leave my home state for a year and four months in the middle of the country.
See the world. Yeah.
Yeah. So finally, orders came around for my class, and I had a choice going to the USS England in San Diego. Who wants to be on the England?
Spoken like a true Irishman.
Yeah, or the USS Belknap out of Gaeta, Italy. Well, no choice for me. I went to Italy.
Yeah. They give you a choice like that?
You know, you get your...
Because you'll sign up for, what, 4 years?
Yeah, I signed up for four, but when you get, you know, you finish your school, they have all these billets that they have to fill. So they'll go by rank order, and you get to choose what ships that you want and, you know, where you want to go. So I saw the one in Italy, and I jumped on it.
Yeah, what was that like?
It was beautiful. It was, I mean, the view from the ship was unbelievable. The ocean was like glass.
Yeah.
And it was a small fishing village halfway between Rome and Naples. And the mountains were snow-capped, and you could walk to the beach. There was a beach not too far, and it was a NATO refueling pier that we were docked in. We were the only U.S. ship there, and we were the flagship of the Mediterranean Fleet.
Do you speak any Italian?
Così, così.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's that mean? Come see, come sa.
So sa.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, not too much.
I'll bet the women were very interesting there. Huh?
Yeah, they were. Probably the cool, you know, I've probably been to like 10 different countries.
Yeah.
We were home ported in Italy. I was in France, Spain, Gibraltar, Greece, Romania, Bulgaria.
Wow. Over the course of what, those 4 years?
Turkey. Yeah? No, I was pretty much on the ship for, I was in school for about a year and a half, and then I was on the ship for about a year and a half.
Oh, wow.
Then my dad died, and I was the only kid, so they detailed me to Chicago recruiting.
Oh, that's good.
And then they just gave me a quick exit. So.
Oh, that's terrific. Yeah.
Yeah, but I traveled all around. I'd seen a ton of countries and stuff like that. Been to Africa. And,
wow.
Yeah. Probably the coolest thing, I think, was I saw the Pope for Midnight Mass on Christmas Eve at the Vatican.
No kidding.
And besides the guys from the ship that were there that day, I mean, I've never met anyone else in my travels or, you know, you're just talking.
Which pope was it?
JP2.
Oh, champ. The saint.
Yes.
Yeah. I saw him at Yankee Stadium.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Many, many years ago with my wife.
My old partner got blessed by him twice. He was on his security detail, and he was blessed by the pope twice.
Yeah. He was on the pope's security detail?
Yeah, when they came to Chicago. My old partner, John L. Sullivan.
Oh, wow.
Yes. My guy, Johnny.
That's not Johnny Sullivan who's here tonight, is it?
No.
There's another John Sullivan here.
This John Sullivan came on in April 69, before I was born.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And, I mean, just a weird twist in life. I'm in a history of Chicago class at De La Salle.
Yeah.
And you have to come up with a paper on what happened on the day that you were born.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I do a little research, and I pull the microfiche out. You know, you go get the library and everything. And I pull the microfiche out, and, you know, there was riots at Tilden.
Yeah.
You know.
What year were you born?
69.
Okay.
So there was riots at Tilden. So years later, I get on the police department, and I'm talking to my man, Johnny, my partner.
Yeah.
And he's telling me how he was in the academy.
Yeah.
And they pulled him out of the academy for the riots at Tilden.
Yeah.
So he actually went and got detailed out. And he was there at the riot, you know, for the riots, you know.
Were those the riots when Martin Luther King was assassinated or something?
Well, that was probably 68, right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
And, but they, you know, it was getting integrated, you know, the school's getting integrated. So there was problems with people in the neighborhood and the students and, you know, the gangs, whatever else was, who else was showing up there to cause the thing. And then, you know, I touched on my adoption before.
Yes.
My biological parents were both school teachers at Tilden at that time. So, but I mean, it's what a strange twist. Yeah. Here I am researching this.
Yeah.
And then I end up working with a policeman who was there.
Yeah.
And I find out that my biological parents were there too. I mean, it was just it's a crazy little twist, you know.
Well, they had to be there when you were born. Your mother did, anyway.
You're right, Mike.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so keep going. When did you decide to become a police officer? Out of the Navy?
I mean, I knew before.
Oh, yeah.
I knew probably in high school I wanted to be a policeman, and so I was working towards, you know, you're too young to take the police test back then.
Yeah.
So I had a couple years to kill, so I'm like, well, you know what, I'll join the Navy, get the college money, yeah, and do a little traveling, and it looks good on a resume. You're in the military,
sure,
you know,
yeah.
So, and I had a good job. I was a gunner's mate.
What's that mean?
A gunner's mate. Like we
the gunner is the guy who shoots the gun.
Right.
So you're the guy who loads it, basically?
We maintain all the ammunition.
Oh, wow.
In my case, I was a missile type.
Holy cow.
So everything from unloading the missile onto the ship, storing it, bringing it up to the ready, and loading it to be fired. We handled every single piece of machinery.
Yeah.
That from on taking the missile, storing it, and getting it ready, which was a massive space on the ship.
Yeah.
Our missile magazine went down like 5 decks.
Holy cow.
So, I mean, there was equipment everywhere. There was constant maintenance that you're oiling this and changing. Yeah. You're greasing these fittings and you're...
Are these nuclear missiles?
I can neither confirm nor deny
okay,
the presence of nuclear weapons on okay, board USS Belknap.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the company answer, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So, but it was a great job. It was, I mean, we really kind of did different things every day because there was so much equipment to work on.
Sure.
But every time we shot the missile, I mean, it burned everything up on our launcher. We'd have to go out there and wire brush everything and scrub it down and repaint everything. You know, it was a messy endeavor to shoot the missile, but you know, everyone else on the ship kind of got to show off their trade, whatever they did, all the time. You know,
yeah,
they're constantly doing this, doing that. Where, I mean, we didn't shoot missiles that often.
Sure.
And when we shot the missile,
just testing them basically. Yeah.
No, I mean, you maintain and you practice loading it and that, but you have practice. They're almost like slugs.
Oh.
Missiles that weigh the same and.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we would practice loading and that with a slug missile.
Yeah.
A training missile. But it was when we shot the missile, they're like, oh man, we were the kings of the ship. You know, it was
sure.
Oh man, that was awesome. Everyone was out there watching it, and you know, everyone's like, oh, I wish I was a gunner's mate now. You know, that was cool. But it was fun. I had a great time on it.
And you had all this down before you went on the police department.
Yeah, I got out of the Navy and took every trades test and all that.
Oh, yeah?
All kinds of stuff. And I ended up getting on the sheriff's department. So I worked in the courts in Markham for about 8 months.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I was assigned to
Sheriff Mike Sheehan?
Under Sheriff Mike Sheehan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I did 8 months there in Markham, the 6th District, and... I worked in a courtroom, and I'd fill in a lockup every time I could. You know, I liked working a lockup better than sitting in the court.
Sure.
And then I worked a side job with a guy, and he said, "Oh, why don't you take the test for the CHA police?" Like, uh-huh. Never even heard of them.
Oh yeah.
And well, it's a Chicago Housing Authority police, and you go to the Chicago Police Academy.
Yeah.
And every class that goes in, they're rumored that they're gonna take these guys into Chicago.
Yeah.
So I looked into it, and the guy told me that there was a test coming up. I signed up for it, and I got on the CHA cops.
Yeah.
So I did that for a year,
okay.
And then I got called for the city, and I switched over.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. Had to go through the whole academy.
Again?
The whole thing, yeah.
Oh, that made... Why would they make you do it again?
I think it was just to deter people from flocking over.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But I was only on there for a year.
How long is the academy? 6 months?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 6 months. So.
Yeah.
Huh.
And so then what year did you get on the force? The
95.
Oh, 95.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I bounced around a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, some people kind of do their whole career
in one
place and that.
Yeah.
But I've made a lot of moves, and I worked in 12 and then 7, Inglewood. I did the Ambassador Detail Recruiting, which was a lot of fun. We would actually go on the radio. And we'd go on the Irish Hour and stuff like that, and the Gaelic Park radio show.
Yeah, yeah.
And we would recruit and talk about the police test. And
good for you.
It pays this, and these are the benefits, and you know what we're looking for. And
yeah,
that was a lot of fun. We'd go around to veterans' plate, you know, veteran job fairs and stuff.
Yeah,
and we'd go to colleges.
Oh, because you were a veteran as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. It really worked out cool. It was kind of the first thing I ever put a application in and got called for the police department. I mean, yeah. I only had a couple years on then. So it was fun. It was a good detail, and I met people, all kinds of different people that run this detail. It was a real different, diversified group from the police department.
Yeah, you
know? Yeah. So yeah, I had a lot of fun with that, and I went back to 12.
Where's 12?
Monroe and Racine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So near West Side. Yeah. It's really exciting little district. United Center, Cook County Hospital, all the medical district there. It's largest medical district in the country. And there's
that Little Italy too.
There's
Little
Taylor Street.
Yeah, Taylor Street.
Yeah, Little Italy. There's projects there.
Yeah,
Pilsen.
Yeah,
Greektown. You know, it's really a kind of a diversified the water markets.
Yeah,
it was really a kind of a cool spot. I've had a couple people that I know their relatives are policemen in Ireland, and they came out here.
Yeah.
And when I was in
12, they came out here to be police. Or
just came out. They were out for a visit.
Yeah.
So I took them for a ride along in that, and the ride alongs in 12 were great because the academy's there, the 911 building's there,
and
all these different neighborhorhoods. I mean, it was really
show them all that
it
stuff.
Was really a fun night, you know, to kind of get them around and show them. And then I worked in other districts where you're kind of just in a residential area. There's not a lot of to see, you know. Especially if you're not from Chicago. If you're from Chicago, maybe you'd be interested in a little of the history.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, someone from coming out of the country would wouldn't really interest them. I wouldn't think.
When did you first go to Ireland?
Probably about 99.
And you were just a young. How old were you then?
30.
Okay.
Yeah.
And who'd you go with?
I was a little younger than that.
Yeah.
I was a little younger than that. I went with my good friend John Dean.
Okay. Yeah,
he's a lieutenant. He's a lieutenant on the cops, and one of my best buddies from went to grammar school with him, and we were roommates over here. We used to live 109th and Oakley.
Oh, I think I remember stories about this residence.
Yeah. John Dean and John Dowd.
John's been on the show.
My two roommates.
Yeah.
And I, those guys got on the city, and I got on the sheriff's at the same time. Mm-hmm. So we found this three bedroom place on Oakley, and it was a gas. So we had parties and stuff for, you know, practical purposes. So my friends from the academy, from the sheriff's academy, and those two guys were in two different homerooms from the city.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden there's a lot of people in our house.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. But I met all their classmates and everything.
Yeah.
And then eventually when I came on the police department in the city, I knew a bunch of people in a lot of these different
That's
districts
good.
Already.
You're an ambassador. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It was fun. What else did I did the summer mobile force where we did the lakefront.
Oh, what's that?
Yeah, we talked about that out. We patrolled the whole lakefront and closed the parks and everything at night at the end of the day.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It was like 23 miles of park district property.
All along the lake?
So you're kind of in a team with a sergeant, and you're assigned a park, and all right, you know, at a certain time, all right, you have to go through and tell everyone, all right.
Time to go
home. Yeah, it's wrap it up.
What time do they go? 11:30, something like that?
I don't think it's that. It's that late. No,
okay.
I think it's a little earlier than that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a few years since I've been down there, and I haven't seen the lake since.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. Then I did a holiday traffic detail. I thought it was going to be the window detail, walking up and down Michigan Avenue.
Yeah.
But I didn't
State Street.
Yeah, I didn't read it properly. And it was directing traffic in the first district.
Oh.
In
the winter?
Of course, I made the bid. No one else wanted to do it. It was myself and a bunch of recruits. You know, I probably had about 7 years on, maybe 6 years on. And it was okay. It was fun. I'm standing on the corner, and I look, and my cousins are in from Virginia. I have no idea. that they're in, and I see him walking into a store right on my corner that I happen to be directing
traffic.
You're
in uniform and everything.
Oh, yeah. I'm in the dress, you know, the heavy dress jacket, the long reefer and everything like that. And so I walked in, and I scared the pants off. Hey, what are you doing over there? They turned around, and they thought, oh, my God. They couldn't believe that we just happened to run into each other, you know. Yeah. It was just it was fun. And he was retired from the Navy, my older cousin. Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
Then I bid the nine out of there.
What do you mean you bid on where you want to go next? Is that
how
it works?
Yeah. Oh yeah. So I bid it was 35th and low.
Oh sure.
So
that was Mayor Daley's house.
Right down the block.
Yeah.
And I made detective from there. I went to Area 2.
Oh.
727 East 111th Street.
Oh, that's right behind us. Yeah.
Pullman.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Pullman
a little farther east. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I made sergeant and went to 6, Gresham.
Oh, yeah.
Then I bid back down to 9, back to 35th. Then I went on the Area 1 Midnight Gang team, and that was out of 51st and Wentworth, which was...
Oh, I remember that spot.
It's good.
Bob Glynn. Do you remember him, the copper? Bob Glynn. He was a coach. Anyway, I had a liquor license, and he fingerprinted me and my wife. He's a lovely guy, Bob Glynn. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah.
He's a copper.
Then I went to 8, and then from there I went back to the detective division, Area 2, and I did about 6 years in property crimes and did about 3 in violent on midnights, so those violent crimes. Then now I'm back in Gresham, so.
And what's your thing? Is it violent crimes? Or
no,
what?
I'm in patrol.
Okay.
Back in uniform.
Yeah.
And I'm...
So you're not a detective anymore.
No, yeah. I am
But you're a lieutenant.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm a lieutenant of police in the fighting 6th district.
How many lieutenants are in a district?
I think mine might have 7 or 8.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
No more than that.
I mean, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
There's probably about 260 in the city.
Okay. Yeah.
So spread out pretty thin.
When somebody's a watch commander, are they lieutenants?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you could be doing that as well.
Yeah, I'll be. Yeah, when I'm working, I'm usually the watch commander.
Oh wow.
If there's 2, which doesn't happen often,
yeah.
One of us will be the field lieutenant, and one will be the watch operations lieutenant.
Yeah.
So.
At Gresham, that's busy, man. I can imagine what that's like. Holy cow.
Yeah, it's not your father's St. Sabina. It's
no.
Like a nice street.
Uh-uh.
It's rock and rolls.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Mm.
Yeah. But that Father Flager's a bum. Let me just get that in.
I'm at midnight, so I don't think he even knows who I am. I hope he doesn't
even
know who
I am.
You don't
want to know who
we
are.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you were telling me before about some of your trips to Ireland. So do you have cousins in Ireland?
Yeah, there's family in Tarbert.
Oh,
in,
sure,
in
where the
Kerry.
Ferry is. Yeah. Yeah, I've taken that ferry.
Yeah, from Clymer and Clare, you take it.
Yeah, well, my people are from Kilrush, which is right next to... Tarbert there, and we took the Tarbert ferry into the kingdom, you know.
Kingdom County Kerry.
Yeah, yeah.
2 kingdoms in this world, the kingdom of God and the
kingdom
of Kerry.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah.
And the Shine family, they're from Cooramore, Kiltoom, in the county Roscommon.
Okay.
So the town of Athlone, their nickname is the Irish Center. It's the dead center of Ireland, right
oh,
in the
really?
Middle.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And the River Shannon cuts it in half.
Yeah.
And half of Athlone is County Westmeath,
yeah,
and then the west end, the west side of the River Shannon, is County Roscommon.
Yeah, I stayed at the Kilronan Castle in Roscommon.
There's some really nice spots there, and if people are into fishing in that, there's a lot of tourists go there, and it's not something that they would just go there to kind of just see the land. There's not big monuments to see or any big bands or music or anything like that.
Yeah,
but it's a lot of people do go there for the fishing and going out in the lakes and stuff like that.
You tell me you saw some great musical acts while you were there.
Yeah, one year at Christmas time, we saw Christy Moore at Vicar Street. Christy's a balladeer.
Yeah.
He sings some
in
great...
Dublin, Vicar Street. I saw Des Bishop there, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big venue.
Yeah.
And that was a really fun
he's
night.
He's amazing, Christy Moore.
He's one of my favorites, yeah.
Yeah.
And then... I saw Guns N' Roses at Slane Castle.
Wow.
That was quite the experience.
Yeah.
You know, Slane Castle is the venue is there's a huge hill.
I've been there. They were sponsors of our, at one time, our film festival, so we went out to Clint's.
Oh, yeah, to Slane, yeah. I mean, that's where they have the big concerts.
Yeah, they used to have the Rolling Stones there and stuff like that.
Stones, yeah. Bruce Springsteen. I mean, they've all, everyone's, you too, they've all played.
Yeah.
When they play, when they go big, they play at Slane. But, yeah, the mountain is beautiful. There's a big hill, and
it's all outdoors.
Yeah, it's all outdoors. But this hill has a beautiful castle at it. And then it kind of looks over the property.
Yeah.
And then the River Boyne cut right through.
Oh, yeah.
And there was it was a site of a hellacious battle.
Yeah.
I mean,
the Battle of Boyne.
The Battle of the Boyne.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's really a historic place, but it's so hard to get to. I mean, you're parking miles away and walking.
When
you
go to Ireland, you just go with a bunch of guys, though. It's not like a big tour group or anything like that, is
no,
it?
No, I've never really went with a tour group. But
what do you guys do? Rent a car and just go?
Yeah, just hit it. Yeah.
Wow.
I've been out there a couple of different friends, and they live in different spots.
Oh, okay.
1 year after my mom died, I didn't want to stick around.
Sure.
So I got invited to a friend's house, and another friend
in
of
Ireland?
Ours. Yeah. And another friend of ours was getting married. So I went to a wedding at the Clare Inn.
Okay.
And I did the... was at a wedding at the Clare Inn and had Christmas that year in Castle Bar.
Oh, nice.
Mayo, that was fun.
Yeah.
Then, yeah.
So when you go, how long do you stay for?
Probably about 10 days, 2 weeks. You know, not too much over 2 weeks.
Yeah, you could go.
Get a little get a little homesick.
Yeah, yeah. I was just there the end of October.
Yeah.
It was a blast.
Oh, it's fun.
Yeah. all right, so any stories stand out as we're heading into the home stretch here that you'd like to share with our audience?
I went out there with my my good friend Thomas Patrick McGinty.
Okay.
And Tom and I went out, and we had tickets for Notre Dame Navy.
Oh, yeah.
But it was awful expensive in town.
I bet.
So we kind of, as soon as
Oh, is this in Dublin?
It's in Dublin.
Yeah.
So as soon as we got there, we took a bus down, and we messed around in West Cork.
Oh,
we went down to Timoleague, and then we stayed there for a couple nights and then took a bus back to Dublin the day before the game. Mm. Then we got, you know, for our hotel and stuff.
Yeah.
So we had a good time. We're ready to go. We head out of our hotel. We go down. Oh, here's a pub right on our corner. We might as well stop here.
Yeah.
So we go in there, and, you know, the locals hear us talking, and, oh, Yanks, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Where are you from? South side of Chicago. Oh, a lot of Irish out there.
Yeah.
And the one guy goes, I lived out there for 15 years.
No kidding.
Another guy lived in Chicago for like 10 years.
Yeah.
Then he lived in Wisconsin for 15 years.
Yeah.
So now they start asking us, you know this guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. You know this place? You know that bar? You know this one? Or, you know? Yeah. We know them all. So they said, well, what are you doing tomorrow? Because the next day Dublin was playing Mayo in the semifinals.
Oh, yeah.
And we had tickets.
Yeah.
So I, nothing really. You know, we're going to the game, and what are you doing after the game? I don't know. We'll tell you where to go. You go to this bar called Darkie Kelly's.
Darkie Kelly's.
Darkie Kelly's, and it's across the street from Christ Church.
Okay.
Okay. All right. And it's a great time. You guys will have a ball. Okay. Sounds good. So we went and go to the game. The next day we get up. We're going to meet some friends from Knock
Mayo,
Mecca, the Holy City.
Absolutely.
Holy City.
Yeah. Our Lady of Knock,
Queen of Peace.
Yeah.
And so we meet some friends before the match, and it's getting late. Oh, man, we better get moving. Well, this ticket thing that we had set up, you're supposed to pick up the tickets 15 minutes before the game. If you don't pick them up, they close the doors on this place, and they hock your tickets to someone else.
Of course they do. Yeah.
So we learned the hard way. We got stiffed on that one.
Oh, really?
So yeah. Mr. McGinty and I stopped in the first place. We had to go in there and think about this for a while.
Yeah.
So I walk in, and he hits the head, and this guy from Chicago, you know, he hears me talking or whatever, ordering a drink, and he says, "Oh, you're from Chicago, huh?" I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "Oh, I'm a fireman."
Yeah.
And I said, "Oh, I'm a policeman."
Yeah.
And, you're here with a bunch of cops? I said, "No, just out with my buddy McGinty."
Yeah.
He goes, "McGinty, who's is this his, you know, this guy his father and a, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Father and mother?
Yeah.
This guy was a Northsider that Mr. and Mrs. McGinty were his sister's step-parents.
Oh, my God.
Or godparents, I mean, step-parents. Yeah. And, you know, so he came back, and it was a big laugh. You know, we had it was fun.
Yeah.
So we had a laugh with them, and they're like, well, what are you guys going to do now? Because we watched the match there.
Yeah, oh, you watched it on TV.
Well,
yeah.
We're going to Darkie Kelly's.
Yeah.
You know, what's that?
They didn't know what it was.
No, they didn't know it. No, we didn't know what it was. So we end up going to this place, and there's Christ Church.
Darkie Kelly's, you found
big, massive church, you know.
Yeah.
We walk in the door of this place, and it was like the Wolf Tones. They had about five or six people playing music at the front, right when you walk in the door.
Yeah.
And it's like, as soon as you walk in, everyone's looking at you.
Sure.
Because you're looking at them. They're watching the music.
Yeah.
In the front of the bar.
Yeah.
We walked in there. We were the only four people that did not have a Dublin jersey on.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, just kind of like, the day the music died. And everyone's kind of checking us out like, oh, man. And, you know, everyone was flocking to come up there and saying, you know, who are you guys? What are you? How did you guys find out about this place and this and that? And, you know, they're like, they're asking McGinty, what's your name? He goes, McGinty. And he goes, where are you from? And he goes, Achill Island. And that's Mayo. And, you know, that's who Dublin had Mayo that day. And they're like, oh, this guy's from Achill Island. So we had a great time. It was a lot of laughs. We finish up there. And the next day, we're gonna get on a train, and we're going out to Claremorris in Mayo.
Oh, wow.
And these friends that we were out with from NOC are going to pick us up at the train station.
Yeah.
So we're walking to the train, and there's a group of travelers.
Oh, yeah.
And they're rowdy, and it's early in the morning.
Are they on the train?
And they're drunk, and they're at the train station playing music. They got the squeeze boxes and the fiddles going.
Yeah.
And I just said to Tom, I said, please, don't let these people be on our train, you know? Well,
they like to fight, too.
Oh, yeah. So did McGinty.
Yeah.
So we get in the...
McGinty. So there's a great quote.
So we get in the train, and no, of course, they're on our train.
Yes.
And there's one seat in the that we saw, we found, and McGinty's like, oh, he goes, you sit in the seat, and he goes, I'll just sit on a luggage chair in the hall, you know, like the walkway.
Yes. So between the cars.
Yeah, there's a kid sitting there who's the reddest thing I've ever seen in my whole life. He was at a music festival all weekend. I don't think he heard knows what a hat was or a bucket hat or any suntan lotion or anything. This kid was fried. I sat next to him, and I could feel the heat coming off this kid. I mean, he was just smoky. You could tell he's miserable, just like, oh. He didn't want to move, but, I mean, you could feel the heat coming off this kid. So I'm sitting next to this kid, and this kid keeps walking down in the aisle.
Yeah.
And he's walking back and forth. His mother is on the traveler. Mm-hmm.
Careful.
You better take that thinker part off. So the traveler... the mom is in our cart.
Yes.
And we're sitting in... the kid is coming back and forth, talking to his mom, leaving in and out, in and out. Now the mom starts yelling, Francis! 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 And everyone's just like, oh, please stop, you know? McGinty gets up, jumps off the luggage, opens the door to the other cart, and he goes, hey, Francis! He goes, get the fudge over here. Only he didn't say fudge.
Yeah, of course.
He goes, your mom wants you. And the whole train absolutely went up for grabs.
Oh, they're laughing.
Roaring, laughing. And they're all giving McGinty the thumbs up and giving him the wink and all that. And good job. And we were laughing so hard. But the whole train just blew up laughing. So Francis comes back.
He's mad.
Francis, he's a little kid.
He
comes back and he listens to mommy, and 2 minutes later, here he comes again.
Oh, yeah.
Only this time he had a can of Budweiser.
Oh,
so that's what mom was looking for a little.
Go get me a beer. Yeah.
But it was a laugh a minute on that trip, I'll tell you. That was one of my favorites.
McGinty, he sounds like a fun traveling character.
He was.
Of course, you've seen the great movie, The Great McGinty. He's one of my favorites.
He's a prince.
Yeah. I think we have to wrap this up. Oh, yeah. You got to go. All right, we're going to have to wrap this up, Lieutenant Dan. Now, Lieutenant Dan was a famous character, you know, as you know.
I never heard of him.
Oh, come on. Yeah. You got to come back. You know, you're one of our favorites. Anytime you want to come back. Have some pizza.
Thanks,
Fox's
Mike.
Pizza. Thanks so much for dropping by. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. And
yeah.
Safe holiday.
Are you going to be at our fourth annual hooligan ball?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, then, if you want to meet Lieutenant Dan, he'll be here. All right, we're going to take a little break here on Hibernian Radio. We'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150. When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third generation, family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRock, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
Hey folks, Charlotte Houlihan here. Did you know that Hibernian Radio is now streaming worldwide on Global Irish Radio? Every Saturday night at 7 p.m. or 1 a.m. in Ireland. Yes, the Irish are always way ahead of us. Check it out at globalirishradio.com or capital GIR.IE.
Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly institution at 99th and Western, as well as in Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. You got the best of both worlds. Still owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose mom and dad, Frank and Teresa, bought the Western location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. They opened the doors in Orland at 73 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. You'll recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, whose great times have been celebrated for generations of Chicagoland Irish. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner, whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza. It's all good. Having a party?
Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Beverly at 773-239-3212 or in Orland Park at 708-349-2111. They're proud sponsors of Hibernian Radio and all Irish first responders. Mention this show for a free toothpick. Gotta love that Fox's Pizza.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
And we are back. Hey, thanks to Lieutenant Dan Shine. Always good company. We're having a blast here once again, folks, at the Cork and Kerry. Want to remind everybody, coming up, the 4th Annual Hibernian Hooligan Ball, Saturday, December 18th, right here at the Cork and Kerry from 7 to 10 p.m. Music, films, culture. We got Jimmy Clunan and friends, Little Larkin and Moran Brothers, Lexia Kennedy, Tige Spillane and friends. It's our only fundraiser of the year. We're also going to be raffling off a lot of Paddy's Irish Whiskey and some swag, some glasses, stuff like that from Paddy's. Last year we said we had other great raffle prizes. The suggestion donation is $100, but we'll take whatever we can get, and it's all for Irish culture. We're also going to be filming that night with Katie Grennan, our Irish Pub, which is a TV show we do every year at St. Patrick's Day on Channel 11. So if you're here for the Hooligan Ball, you'll probably wind up being on the TV show, and you better behave yourself. All right, so we hope to see you all there. Spread the word. You'll be hearing more about it every week as we get closer to it. Also, I want to remind you, our old pal Chubbs Polfus, who used to have Christmas with a cause every year over on the west side, he's doing it again at Doc Ryan's this time. Doc Ryan's at 7432 Madison Street in Forest Park. Everybody knows where that is. Please bring an unwrapped toy for a girl or boy, larger indoor event. This is inside, not like the old one where we froze our butts off. Bring a friend, food will be provided. They got a silent auction, raffle baskets, raffle prizes, 50-50 raffle. Actually, Chubbs usually throws an item or two to us to raffle off, so he's been very good to us in the past. But this is just a great, great cause for a variety of different charities, including the Shriners Hospital for Children, the Loyola Burn Unit for Children, the Heinz Veteran Hospital, Heinz Fisher House, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, Best Buddies, Forest Park Community Center for Seniors, Oak Park Animal Care League, Opportunity Next. I should add and put Hibernian Radio on or media on here. Anyway, it's Saturday, December 11th from 3 to 10. I, unfortunately, will be in New York City at Madison Square Garden that night for the Nico Ali Walsh fight. More about that later. But for more information, get in touch with our pal Chubbs. You can also reach him at 708-447-4020. Chubbs Polfus. You'll be hearing more about it. Christmas with a Cause, Saturday, December 11th. It's a terrific cause. And then, of course, December 18th. Don't forget the 4th Annual Hibernian Hooligan Ball. Okay, Billy, would you please? You know, when I'm walking down Western Avenue and I look in the window, Ken's, Wrong's, Hearts, any of those great Irish stones, including Cork and Kerry, I see the ghost of my old pal, Jimmy Goff, through the mist, and he says to me, "Hey, Wooly, who died?" Thomas Hennigan, Heenahan, age 95. And while I'm on the subject of somebody 95, my old pal, PGOD, every week gives us these, and he's also 95, God bless him. So a little shout out to PJ and his lovely wife, Mary, but he had this one for me. He gave me a bunch of them today. Thomas Heenahan, 95, from County Galway, United States Army veteran, beloved husband of 65 years to the late Bridget, father of John, Sean, Mary Teresa, Michael, Noreen, Patricia, Jerry and the late Tom Hannigan. Tom was a member of Local 399 and the Chicago Harry Boland Hurling Club. God rest his soul, Tom Heenahan, 95. Margaret Peg Healy, age 87. Peg devoted her life to the service of higher education. She was also served as a trustee of seven colleges and universities, including Villanova, St. John, Sarah Lawrence, Holy Cross. Born in Chicago to Nora and Patrick Healy, immigrants from Ireland. She was a graduate of Rosary College. God rest her soul, Peg Healy, 87. Peter J. McMenamin, age 80. He was a veteran of the United States Army, Vietnam vet, retired detective of the Chicago Police Department, and a former Chicago public school teacher at Lindblom. Proud graduate of St. Gertrude Grammar School, St. George High School, and Creighton University, where Pete was a standout basketball player who helped his team advance to the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament. He was a member of the FOP, Lodge 7, where he protected and served the people of Chicago for almost 30 years. Pete was a loyal and true friend to many, a fun-loving with a generous spirit. He embraced his Irish heritage, certainly enjoyed a wee bit of Irish cheer, especially at Corcoran's. It's 111th Street, right around the corner from here. God rest his soul, Pete McMenamin. Donna Marie Moran. Donna was born in Chicago, the daughter of Thomas and Margaret Burns. She graduated from Immaculate Conception Grade School. She went on to graduate from Immaculate Conception High School. Donna married her high school sweetheart. She loved him fiercely along with her children through 64 years. Together they moved 17 times, had four children in four states. She always managed to make anywhere home. She grew up with a strong connection to her Irish Catholic heritage and eventually established dual citizenship between the United States and Ireland. I got that too. Anyway, she was a volunteer, the director of volunteers for the American Red Cross for many years. God rest her soul. She survived her husband, Joe, her children, Joseph Moran, Colleen, and Mary Moran. God rest her soul, Donna Marie Moran. Therese King, raised in County Cork, Ireland. Therese was the youngest of 11 children born to the late Michael and Kathleen. Devoted wife to the late John, loving mother to children Jerry, Jim, John, Maura, Noreen, Therese. She was a true matriarch. Therese's ability to lead with warmth and dignity, teach through loving example, and nurture the strong bonds of family and friendship are the lasting gift she leaves to those who were fortunate enough to be loved by her. God rest her lovely soul, Therese King. Margaret Casey, a native of County Mayo. God help us. Police have peacefully passed away at home Saturday, November 20th. With her family at her side, she was the beloved wife and is happily reunited with her dear late husband, Bill Casey. She was the cherished mother of Margaret and William and Katie. She, along with Bill, was an active member of the Shamrock American Club over at the Irish American Heritage Center. She was a Eucharistic minister for over 30 years at St. Julianna's. God rest her lovely soul, Margaret Casey. Thomas O'Brien, beloved husband of Noreen for 51 years. He was the father of Kathleen, Daniel, Thomas, Michael, Patrick. Tom was a proud United States Army veteran, retired special agent of the United States Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and a member of the Ancient Order of Hibernians. In lieu of flowers, please make donations to the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation. God rest his soul, Tom O'Brien. Mary Hadigan, 91. She was born in County Limerick. In Chicago, she was a loving homemaker and longtime Alexian Brothers Hospital volunteer. She was the beloved wife of late Thomas Hadigan for 64 years, the mother of Mary, Margaret, Bernard, Thomas, and Ellen. God rest her soul, Mary Hadigan. And finally, Chuck Loftus, an old friend and kind of a relation. His sister is married to my late brother, Danny. Chuck was the devoted husband of the late Mary Susan, and the father of Maureen Brennan, Robert, and Nora Loftus, beloved brother of the late Peggy Klug, Joe Loftus, Mary Alice Loftus, Houlihan, Kathy Fennell, and Jimmy Loftus, Lofty, my old pal, also a police officer who's retired now. God rest his lovely soul. I'll be heading over to that wake Sunday. Chuck Loftus, he was one of the best. God rest his soul. Okay, we're going to take a little break here on Hibernian Radio. Hope you're having fun. We're going to be right back after these messages from our friends.
Chicago firefighters first formed an independent firemen's association in 1901. Firefighter delegates met in 1918 at the American Federation of Labor Convention to form the International Association of Firefighters. Chicago, having been the second organization to join the American Federation of Labor, they were designated as IAFF Local 2. Over the next 100 years or so, Local 2 has been tempered through turbulent times and survived to prosper. In 1980, a contentious strike almost split the union, but the Brotherhood of the Barrel prevailed. Today, it's a stronger union because of that, as Local 2 is forever negotiating benefits for their members. Ask any of the members and they will tell you, as the faces of our ranks change over time, the men and women of Local 2 will always stand steadfast in our resolve to aid and assist those who find themselves in dire situations. Our brotherhood is our bond, and we celebrate our differences as a way to better serve the citizens of Chicago and keep each other safe. For more info, go to IAFF2.org.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
Hey, everybody. This is Charlotte Houlihan. Don't touch that dial. My grandpa will be right back some more Hibernian radio. He said something about seeing a man about a horse. Sounds like I'm actually going to get that pony after all.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
On the death walk of saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
And we're back. Hey, I got a little story for a rich man and a poor man. We're sitting at a bar having a few drinks, and they got to chatting, as one would do. And after a while, they realize both of their wedding anniversaries are the next day. The poor man says, well, what did you get your wife for her wedding anniversary? The rich man says, I got her a pink Ferrari and a diamond ring. And the poor man says, I forgot he was from Ireland. What made you choose those gifts? And the rich man says, she loves fast cars and I wasn't sure about the ring. So if she doesn't like it, she can take it back in her new car. The poor man nods in agreement. The rich man says, what did you get your wife? The poor man says, I got my wife a pair of cheap slippers and a dildo. Rich man says, why did you choose those? Well, if she doesn't like the slippers, she can go fuck herself. Okay. I couldn't resist. Sorry. Hey, we're going to take the show out. Our old pal, Patty Holman, we always love to go back to his Christmas album, Christmas in Ireland. Patty is the best. And we'll let the great Patty Holman and Noble Call take us out. We'll see you next week. God bless you all, and we'll see you later. Bye.
My father played the melodeon outside at our gate. There were stars in the morning east, and they danced to his music. Across the wild bogs, his melodeon called to Lennons and Callans. As I pulled on my trousers in a hurry, I knew some strange thing had happened. Outside in the cowhouse, my mother made the music of milking. The light of her stable lamp was a star, and the frost of Bethlehem made it twinkle. A water hen screeched in the bog. Mass-going feet crunched the wafer ice on the potholes. Somebody wistfully twisted the bellows wheel. My child poet picked out the letters on the grey stone. In silver, are the wonder of a Christmas townland. The winkling glitter of a frosty dawn. Good people, all this Christmas time, consider well and bear in mind what our good God for us has done in sending his beloved Son. With Mary holy we should pray to God with love this Christmas day. In Bethlehem upon the moor, there was a blessed Messiah born. Cassiopeia was over Cassidy's hanging hill. I looked, and three wind bushes roared across the horizon. Woohoo! Three wise kings. An old man passing said, "Can't he make it talk?" The melodeon. I hid in the doorway and tightened the belt of my box-pleated coat. I nicked six nicks on the doorpost with my penknife's big blade. There was a little one for cutting tobacco. And I was six Christmases of age. My father played the melodeon. My mother milked the cows, and I had a prayer like a white rose pinned on the Virgin Mary's blouse. With thankful heart and joyful mind, the shepherds went the babe to find. And as God's angels had foretold, they did our Savior Christ behold. Within a manger he was laid, and by his side the Virgin Maid. Attending to the Lord of life, who came on earth to end all my father played the melodeon outside at our gate. There were stars in the morning east, and they danced to his music.